Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Lord is good. And you know, I've learned this about the Lord. If He's not saying anything, you ought to rest. So many people think, I gotta have a word from God, I gotta have a word from God, I gotta have a word from God, I gotta hear from God. Well, the Lord over us is kind of like my granddaughter over that new little baby. She is so in love with that little baby. She was saying, I want that baby to never grow up. He's just so tiny and precious. I wish he'd stay that way. And we were trying to tell her, oh, get over it. You know, you're going to, you know, you want him to grow up and all that kind of stuff. But you can see this is how God looks at us. We're his children. And if he sees a potential problem, he's going to be like when that baby grunts or squeals, that baby gets whatever that baby wants. See, this is the way God is. If you're out there and you're walking and you're having a hard time and you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. See, he's in the lead, actually. He's leading you through it. And so he, sometimes if he doesn't say anything, it means you're all right. It's kind of like when I ask the Lord if I can do something and he never answers, it's like, it's a no. I've learned, you just don't go do something. People don't understand that. And they, if I say something like that, they just act kind of like, you mean you didn't even get to go see your grandbaby born? Great-grandbaby born? Well, you know, I don't just answer to myself and what I want, my feelings, my flesh. I'm getting some reverb off of that. Anyway, you have to make a decision. He makes the calls. But if he's not saying anything, I guess you don't need to know anything. You don't have to hound the Lord. I see those kids in the grocery store. They're handing a mama for everything that's on either side of the checkout stand, wanting this toy and that candy and grabbing it off the shelf and ripping into it, and they're having to grab it out of their hand. And this is the way that's with God. But I think this is the way it is with a lot of Christians. They just feel like they just have to hound the Lord all the time because, you know, poor old God, he's so old, he probably can't hear. So I got to repeat it over, and I didn't intend to go this way. I just got to repeat it over and over and over and over, and I just got to hound him and hound him and hound him and remind him and remind him and remind him. Not cool. Not cool. He is watching over you, and he sees everything, every little grunt you make, every little squeal. He's seeing it all. He knows it all. He's overseeing where he's taking you. I think a lot of people don't really understand maybe. God has taken us to a place where he is going to have to. We'll have a lot of responsibility. I'll just put it that way. We'll have a lot of responsibility. And he is going to have to be able to trust us. Think about Moses and that bunch. I mean, they just barely got out of Egypt and they're griping because there ain't any water. You understand what I'm saying here? The things, Moses had a temper and it got him in trouble a few times. But I mean, he was on the backside of the desert for 40 years, so God was working his might and power that he, you know, killed the Egyptian with. He was thinking, well, you know, I can't have him deliver the people because he'd be killing every one of them. That I put him over. Well, if you don't like it, just take him out. God's working. He's working on your character. He will not turn up the power until the character is dealt with. You understand why he can't? Because you'd be zapping people. And believe me, there's been a few I've wanted to zap too. For whoever, whatever reason, whatever reason you needed to hear that. But we're fixing to come into responsibility and we'll think, whoa, I just never thought this. Or I never, whoa, I think that's the way it's going to be. Whoa, like, Lord, send me back. I need more training. So learning to walk every day and trust God and not hound Him. He is well aware of what's going on with you. The title of this, it's a Prophet's Corner. This is February the 2nd, 2020. It's called A Relay Race. In a relay race, successes happen when each one passes the baton on to the next one, and everything is done on time and each one has run smoothly. Have you ever watched a relay race? Each leg of the relay has its own supply. So that person is not in charge of the whole relay race. They're in charge of their leg of the relay race. That they do it fast and efficient, as quick as they can. When the supply runs out, the baton must be passed to the next one. Because the next one has the supply for the next leg. Webster says this about a relay. A race between teams in which each team member successfully covers a specific portion of the course. That's why we got a great cloud of witnesses watching us. See, they were in the relay before we ever got on the scene. Okay, we see this picture, John chapter 3, verse 22. So Paul makes a statement about the course before him. He's finished his course. He's run his race. Verse 22. John made this statement about Jesus when he appeared on the scene. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anon, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, and John was not yet cast into prison. I thought I'd written it. All right, I'll keep going. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying, and they came to Jesus and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly, because the bridegroom's voice, this is my joy, therefore it is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. So he passed the torch. He had a pretty sharp ministry. 6 months. So he recognized his disciples were getting in contention. Jesus was doing things differently than John. Well, a new dispensation was here. And John, he recognized it, and he passed the torch. God took him off the scene completely, and maybe for that reason, because John the Baptist probably had a lot of followers. That's a scary thought. We also see the danger of that baton not being passed. 1 Samuel 13. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent to every man to his tent. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." All Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul of Gilgal. Speaking of the Philistines, here we got the giant bunch again. They're all through this Bible. The Ites. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, and they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, and the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and rocks and high places and in pits. Some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Paul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings," and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made that supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And Samuel rose and got up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. Okay, now let's turn to chapter 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, which is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs. And that was and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early in the morning, and early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Samuel said unto, and Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, did sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and the stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. So my point in all of this is, we began to see in the life of Saul, he started to outstay his welcome, and as he did, he became more rebellious. He wouldn't hear sound counsel. And he even broke his own rules. He went to the witch of Endor. See, he had outlawed witchcraft or seeing witches and all that kind of stuff. So he became an advocate of the devil because he continued to be in a place he was no longer graced in. And he began to operate in familiar spirits. You know, we had to have David come in with the harp and play the harp to get the evil spirit off of him, to give him some rest. So it's a dangerous thing. Okay. All right. I basically already said this to you. We see here something very dangerous. God fired Saul and Saul didn't leave. God chose someone else. What happened here? Saul began to operate under the influence of devils and even began to prosecute God's new appointment. Sounds like our government. I'm talking about the church today and also our government. The left persecuting the right. It's always been that way. As God's warriors, we must speak a smooth passing of the baton in the body of Christ and in our government. Now, I know with the impeachment bunch, they have made statements like, the Speaker of the House has made the statement, if he's acquitted, I'll resign. We'll see. Because they're already brewing another set of articles of impeachment as soon as he's acquitted. The spiritual and the natural work together for good or for evil. Unfortunately, we see it very plainly. When the baton is passed smoothly, the new runner must run with all their might, swiftly and smoothly. These areas that we can decree are a smooth changing of the guards. Now, Q has posted about the changing of the old, or taking out of the old guard. These politicians have been in office so long, they call them the dinosaurs, and they have been allowed to congregate and form a swamp. And so, to prevent that, that needs to be scattered, just like President Kennedy said, I'll break the CIA in 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. They need to probably do that to every intelligence agency that we have. And set term limits so that this can't happen again. You never have anybody long enough to set up another swamp. Okay, there's a few scriptures here. Out with the old, in with the new. 1 Corinthians 9:24. You know, witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Well, it's not just a demon somebody has. It is a work of the flesh. When we get out of the spirit and we start trying to do God's work in the flesh, that becomes witchcraft. That's rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that we may obtain. Okay, these are just about the race. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Jesus is our example. The next verse says that. Okay, Matthew 11. When you step over into somebody else's anointing, woo! There's one, I didn't write it down. It was a king that tried to, he was in the temple and he was trying to do what the priest did with the censers. And then when he did, his arm turned to leprosy. I don't even know where that is over there. But that was one of them I thought about, because he was trying to do what the priest did. And he was not a priest, he was a king. Yeah. Okay, Matthew 11. It came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I don't think I'm reading the right thing. Oh well, let's go on. It really doesn't matter where you are in the relay, because the reward is the same. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, 16. We start in 16. I had it written down wrong. Matthew 11:16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified by our children. And that's not it either. Well, shoot. What I'm talking about, Matthew 20. Boy, I really messed that up, didn't I? Well, it was a long day yesterday trying to get all these. Matthew 20, you said? Okay, Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth, the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called and few chosen. So it really doesn't matter where you are in the relay because reward is the same. Grace is supplied for the next one to step up to run his leg of the relay. Sometimes I think that ministers are as well as leaders, that they think that their position is so above everybody else's, they think they need to tend to the whole relay. They don't want to let go. Well, I've been doing this for 40 years, bless God. We have been waiting for some passing of the baton personally since 1999. We've been waiting for that. And we've seen a little of that Saul type stuff I talked about happen. And I'm telling you, it's a scary thing. This is what Tracy Cook, he's a prophet in the body of Christ. A few weeks ago, I listened to him with a couple of other prophets on Sid Roth. And he made this statement. I had Danny listen to it too. He said this, ministers would begin to get sick and die because they continue to do the Lord's work, but the Lord has fired them. And so by the Lord taking them off the scene, they would still receive their reward. See, Saul kept on. He just digressed in his trying to kill David and got into consulting the witch of Endor and all this rebellion he got into. See, he said the Lord in his mercy would take them out so that they would still get their reward and they wouldn't continue on walking in the flesh trying to do God's will. Because you can't do it that way. So speak with me. A smooth change of the guards or out with the old, in with the new. Yeah. Yeah, smooth transition. In the government. But I believe the church, when the church gets in line, because this new bunch is anointed. This new bunch is anointed to do what God's called them to do for this leg. Mm-hmm. This old bunch can't do it. Not that what they did was wrong. They did their leg, but their leg's over. In the government also. It's time for fresh. Younger people got fresh ideas, not old dinosaur politicians in their 80s. Now, if they're wise, that's one thing. But if they're foolish, oh, it's even worse. Because how do they think? Entitlement. Mm-hmm. I've been here so long, I rule here, and nobody's taking me down.
Irreplaceable.
Yeah, irreplaceable. Exactly. Okay.